This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Paganapake Pagan alongside Ian McNally. Crazy Rich Asians. It's about to be in cinemas. We've seen it. It's directed by John M. Chu. It stars Constance Wu, our very own Henry Golding, and Michelle Yeoh. It's got Gemma Chan in it. It's got Awkwafina. It's got Ken Jeong. It's got a whole wonderful lineup of Chinese people. Or Koreans and Japanese people pretending to be Chinese people. It is, of course, based on the very popular series of novels by Kevin Kwan. There has been so much written about this movie before anyone saw a single minute of this film, because obviously it's been like 2.5 decades or so since the Joy Luck Club, since a major American studio has made a movie with an all Asian cast.
Yeah, this is the same it's the expectation for Black Panther, but it's the Chinese rom-com version of that.
Exactly. But before we get into any of that, I just have to say this is a fantastic film.
Yeah, it's fun.
I had such a great time at the cinema.
Yeah, I think what you need to know is, despite, like everything, we try to say go in with low expectations of anything just because you're better off that way. But it's not like the Asian representation, the movie. It's a really good rom-com.
It doesn't even try to be that.
No.
It doesn't even set out to be that. It sets out to tell the story that's in the book.
Mm.
And it's an incredibly faithful adaptation of that story as well. The movie is primarily based in Singapore. It tells the story of Nicholas Young, who's bringing Rachel Chu, his Asian-American girlfriend, to meet his overbearing mother, played by Michelle Yeoh, and he is, of course, of blue blood.
Which he never told her about.
No. The richest, most extravagant family in all of Singapore, the Youngs. They own anything that's worth owning, and they control everything that's worth controlling, right?
Yeah.
So much so that other rich people cower in fear when they walk into a room.
It's Game of Thrones Singapore, real estate edition.
Exactly. But all of that aside, I think the movie does so well to capture what it's like in rich Singapore society.
Mm.
From whatever run-ins I've had with rich Singaporean people or rich Malaysian people, it feels incredibly accurate. The kind of parties they throw, the kind of language that they use, the way they speak about other people, all of that's kind of captured with great accuracy.
Mm.
But it doesn't go overboard with it, because it's used as something supplementary to tell this love story.
Yeah. As a well-balanced white guy with an okay income, you know, it's still hashtag relatable. It still works as a comedy, as a romantic comedy. I mean, it's funny, we're talking, when you look at the tropes of the genre, it hits all those. There is an airport scene, which is what you're going to expect from an airport scene in a movie like this. There's a lack of running around that, but there is like the barriers that must be overcome, and it's a really good rom-com without falling prey to those tropes.
It's an old-fashioned rom-com as well. I mean, it doesn't try to break any new ground, but where it does break new ground is take it to a new setting that I guess a lot of American audiences will be unfamiliar with.
Yeah, I mean, what you mentioned about Carcosa and the Blue Mansion, I didn't spot the jumps from Singapore, and I've been there quite a lot, and I was like, oh, this is... I was surprised how much of that, because I thought they would shoot some key scenes there and then shoot the rest on a back lot. And I was like pleasantly surprised by that, because I've seen, when we see Changi Airport, I've seen one of the Jackie Chan movies shot like Dublin Airport around the corner from an office I used to work in. It's like, it looks nothing like an airport, but it was easy to get. And that happens all the time. And it can be annoying it's very annoying if you know the place. And in this, it really helped that feeling of place, I thought. And also, there's a scene where the rich people go out and just like eat among the plebs, which is a really nice job of like, it's not as bad as the let's go to London scene in Trainspotting, which is literally like an ad for London tourism.
Yeah.
Like, it feels very natural. Like, yes. It really it sets its sense of place very, very well.
And very, very early.
Yeah.
I think it pulls it off really, really, really well. And also, I have to say, John M. Chu, who is not, he's Asian American, he's not Singaporean, he's not Malaysian, he's got an incredibly good eye or good ear for local dialogue as well.
Yes.
I think he captures the tone, I think he captures the lingo, I think all of the comedic timing works really well too. This shouldn't sound surprising, but we've been let down so many times before, right? Yeah. By American studios.
Oh, and again, you know, I feel your pain as well. Whenever I hear an Irish accent on screen, I'm like, oh God, how bad is it going to be? Not how good is it going to be? I was surprised. I think there's a line about like, come in where the aircon is. It just fit the region so well. It's exactly what I've heard people say. And there's loads of that.
This is his first comedy, I think, or straight up comedy.
It depends on what you consider G.I. Joe Retaliation.
That is a good point. Or Now You See Me Too.
I'm not even going to watch Now You See Me Too. Now You See Me One made me so angry.
Step Up to the Streets.
No, thank you.
No.
I don't. I'll step down, thanks.
There's a lot to dissect in this film. I think there's a lot of conversations that have gone on surrounding this film. A lot of it, of course, has to do with representation, has to do with America putting out a studio film featuring an all-Asian cast.
There's only three white guys in the movie and they're all in the first 5 minutes and they're all bad.
But that aside, I think you can enjoy this movie for what it is.
Yeah.
You don't need 50 op-eds telling you how it isn't representative of the Asian experience.
No, it comes off a little bit like it's an Asian Pretty Woman almost. You know, I mean, and not in that she's a hooker. More in the fact that it's a fish out of water romance story. And that it works on that level really, really well. And then it's smart as well. There's a joke in there about the difference between Changi Airport and JFK, which I don't want to ruin, which tickled me immensely. I thought that was super smart. And there's a revelation near the end of where you're explaining how things are getting tied up and what happened. And that would be, if it was Hugh Grant, it would be a 5 minute monologue.
Exactly. There is so little exposition.
It's a box opening and you know exactly what's happened there.
And the characters know exactly what happened there. Yeah. And they didn't need any explaining.
It's not representation in the movie. It's like, it's a smart, clever rom-com that respects its audience. And those are few and far between sometimes.
They're very hard to come by, especially when America is doing something all the way out here.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's to blame for that. Or I don't know who's responsible for that. I don't know how much Kevin Kwan had to do with it. I know he sold the book for nothing, for like a dollar or something, because he wanted a certain amount of creative control in that he didn't want a studio kind of taking the book and then making it all white people, for starters. And I don't know how much of it was John Chu. But, you know, whatever the case, I mean, credit to both of them, credit to the producers for actually putting out a piece that feels authentic.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to come by as well.
Yeah, it's authentic and also enjoyable.
Can I also say a big shout out to Henry Golding?
Yeah.
I think he did really well.
He smolders.
He does.
I stopped taking count of the number of times he takes his shirt off for different reasons. Like, it is kind of ludicrous.
There is a lot of female gaze in this movie, which is fantastic. You don't see a lot of it.
He takes his shirt off so many times, I start to think his name is Chris and it's a Marvel movie. And we should shout out Awkwafina as well. I mean, I was worried about her character because she looks certain things in the trailers, but actually it's actually a character, it's not a stereotype, which is a worry that some of the characters had to look, especially Ronnie Chang as well, who he is playing a stereotype, but his acting and his persona works perfectly well for that.
When you read the book and you see the characters as depicted in that book, they're all cliches, right? And they're meant to be. I mean, that's what Kevin Kwan is putting out there.
Yeah.
And the people they've picked to play these cliches play it to a T.
Yeah.
Gemma Chan is great as Astrid, his sister, who is kind of
the reserved ice queen,
but also the most accommodating individual because she's embarrassed by her wealth.
Ah.
And I think she plays that really, really well, too. It's funny because Kevin Kwan's novel is basic, to say the least, right? I mean, it is written as a soap opera.
Yeah.
And it is meant to appeal to the lowest hanging fruit.
Not that there's anything wrong with that kind of thing.
No, not at all, because it knows exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But what this movie does, it's actually elevate these characters into something more.
Mm.
Michelle Yeoh does a fantastic job as Eleanor.
She's not boo-hiss straight away.
No.
There's a long period of thinking, and as anyone who's ever met in-laws, there's a long period where it just feels like, well, maybe they don't like me, maybe they do like me, maybe it's just like, and Constance's first reaction is like, oh, she hates me, and it's like, that's an overreaction.
Right?
And then later on you're like, or is it? Or no?
And that's where I think the writing is very, very strong, because when Michelle Yeoh is delivering those lines upon the first meeting between Eleanor and Rachel in this kitchen, it's just the most backhanded compliments.
Yes.
ever.
Oh, she was a working mother. Mm.
She must be really proud of you.
Mm.
Oh, how American.
Yes.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. But I was amazed at how underwritten this movie was. Like you said, you pointed out a bunch of scenes. That scene in the kitchen when they first meet, even the scene where they're making dumplings. I mean, that's a little more cruel, but it's still...
Yeah, I don't think it's underwritten. I think it's like... It's overwritten to the point where they've pared it down to exactly what they need to get. That's
exactly,
the thing.
Exactly.
The difference between underwritten and what they've done here is probably about 6 months to a year in writing and sitting in the writer's room going like, it doesn't work. She's too evil. Make it, tone it back and add some more.
It works. It works as an adaptation. It works as a rom-com. Hey, I don't know. Maybe if this movie does well, we might see more rom-coms in cinemas again. But, you know, they're going to have to be as well done and well made as this.
Yeah.
It's amazing what a budget can do, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks...
Singapore looked great.
That's the thing. It's sumptuous. Yeah, I mean, Singapore looks great. There's, like, more plants in every scene than there is in Jurassic Park. You know, everyone just looks amazing. Like, I mean, I don't, you know, I dress like a hobo, and I thought that everyone looked amazing in the clothes. I was like, I need to go shopping.
You know, Nick is in Singapore for his best friend's wedding, whose name is Colin, right? And Colin also comes from a super rich family.
They're all Oxford educated. Their accents are all very, oh, lordy, doll.
And Colin's supposed to have, I guess, the wedding of the century in Singapore. In movies, when you talk up a wedding to that extent, when you show it, it better be good.
Yeah.
And John M. Chu and crew make sure it's good.
Yeah, because you think it's peaking when the fairy lights come out, but oh no. When there's a princess with a road to herself. Oh no. It's building.
There's more.
Yeah.
There's more.
What did you think of the super uncle characters? There's two characters in particular. I mean, Ronnie Cheng is one. There's another character, Bernard, who is very stereotypical Kiasu kind of character, right?
Christ, I've met people like that.
You have. I was wondering whether that comes off as a stereotype or not.
God, I hate that guy. I've met people like that and I've hated them on sight.
Because apart from the look, he is that typical movie bro.
Yeah.
And that level worked for me as well. But I was slightly worried about that portrayal because I'm not sure whether some people get offended because like, hey, that's my haircut.
No, I know people like that. It's awful. It's awful. Yeah.
It's also interesting in that, you know, now in the enlightened age of 2018, you know, the biggest racism of the movie happened back in the dark past of 1995. I'm like, oh man, it's like you could do that in the 80s when you made movies. Or no, in the early 2000s. But it's like, no, we're not all that woke these days. I mean, 1995, we thought we were woke.
Oh, no. So in the 80s, it was to a different bunch of minorities.
Ah.
Yes. So in the 90s, it was the Chinese people. And then, you know, in the 2000s, you know, we Indians get it. You know,
And now it's all cyclical because if they probably went, they'd probably get thrown out of the same hotel now if they went back.
Exactly. Hey, the other thing which I really loved about this movie, the soundtrack.
Oh, yes.
The remakes of all the songs, all the famous popular pop songs into Chinese.
And there's all, but they don't just do that, which could be, you know, the Romeo plus Juliet soundtrack. There's also like proper...
correct.
I presume it's like a proper old Hong Kong Shanghai music playing throughout, which works really, really well. Because there's a kind of a... The wedding has a kind of a Shanghai opium den theme slightly to it. You know, that kind of era of like 40s, 50s China. Which I think comes through in some of the songs as well, which was really good. Well, there's a point where I recognize a song by a well-known group of troubadours, shall we say, that was like, ah, this is really nice.
Now, you're right, Ian. I think you said it best. The movie feels sumptuous. And I think when you call yourself Crazy Rich Asians and you need to show that off.
So many cars.
So many cars.
Like Awkwafina is like not the richest one. So she's only got like a super awesome Audi.
No Rolls yet.
Don't even need to show that Gemma Chan is in a Rolls. You just see the logo on the headrest in the car. And that's all you need to know. Because they're not flashy like that.
A lot of the periphery conversations that have been going on about this movie have kind of annoyed me just because people have been making a deal out of things without actually seeing a minute of the film.
Mm.
And I think there's a weight of expectation on this film and a different weight of expectation, especially if you're Asian American. I can understand where that weight of expectation comes from.
And I think because it is the main character is Asian American and she has that. That's her experience, and it will fit a lot of their experiences, especially going back to the old country.
Absolutely. But then, of course, over here, we seem to have appropriated some of that conversation as well.
Mm.
And I don't know... So that Asian experience is going to be different for everyone, right? It doesn't matter if you're Singaporean Chinese or Malaysian Chinese or, you know, Chinese from wherever.
Yeah, as long as you're Chinese. If you're Indian, you got nothing in this movie.
I know. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Yet again,
There are two Indian guys, sorry.
They're security guards.
Yeah.
But feels incredibly accurate to the rich Chinese experience in Singapore.
Absolutely.
They don't mix with brown people.
No.
I have no space there. Not at all. No.
You do, outside the gate.
I would be a guard. Exactly, exactly. And so I'm hoping that the weight of expectation doesn't get in the way of the enjoyment of this movie. Because for what it is a very well-made piece of cinema.
And I was being facetious about the Black Panther comparison, but the thing is, that's a Marvel movie. It did. It was lucky that it did cover so many bases and, you know, put together so many Afrofuturist ideas. But it can't do everything. It's still a Marvel movie. And this is still a rom-com, and it's like, it's not an art film.
It isn't supposed to be representative of every single Asian experience.
Yeah.
It is, however, incredibly representative of the uber-rich Singaporean experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's all it wants to be.
And, of the audience of two sitting here, it tailored to what we wanted out of a rom-com.
Yeah. Crazy Rich Asians is a blast. We had a lot of fun in the cinema. We think you might too. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
Oh, and do us a favor, you know, don't be like Vivi Yusuf and like record stuff on Insta Video and put it up. No,
it's still
that's
piracy,
not cool.
If it's Insta Video or if it's a 30-second clip long. It's fair use doesn't. Also, your phone lights up and annoys people. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Crazy Rich Asians going to be in cinemas very, very shortly. Check it out. You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.